today we're going to pick up where we left off, and we're going to show you the evidences of Holy Spirit conviction. Many people today have walked the aisle. Many people today have made a mental assent to a given truth. Many people today have turned over a new leaf. Many people today have been supposedly baptized by the Holy Ghost. Many people today have been baptized, as it were, in water, and they think that they are converted. But, my friend, all these things result in the trickery of Satan. Now, hold your seat and listen. Without Holy Spirit conviction, there can be no repentance. Without repentance, there's no faith. Without faith, there's no Christ. Without Christ, there is no salvation. Now, what about you? Have you ever been under Holy Spirit conviction? I'm going to say this to you again. If you never have, then put it, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you never have been. If you've ever been under Holy Spirit conviction, you know what I'm talking about, and rest assured of one thing, you'll praise the Lord again for His mercy and goodness to you in bringing you under conviction and giving you the privilege to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Holy Spirit conviction today is unknown. The reason? It's unpreached. The church as a whole is mired in a muck of its own making because it has departed from the truth of God. Now remember, again, listen carefully if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, the scripture is emphatic about it. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now listen, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by or through the Holy Ghost. Therefore, there has to be Holy Spirit conviction for an individual to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our lesson today, we're going to look at the evidences of Holy Spirit conviction. Take your Bibles now, and you follow with me in John chapter 16 and verse 8. Listen to it. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I want to call your attention for a moment or two to that world, to that word reprove. Now that word reprove means to single out. It means to call by name. It means to lay the blame upon, with the result of one of two things. The individual will either admit to the blame, confess it, and repent, or the individual will rebel and remain in that kind of rebellion against the truth. Now, has God the Holy Spirit ever dealt with you in such a personal manner? Has He ever singled you out? Has He ever called you by name so that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Lord God of heaven was speaking directly to you? Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, my friend, you have missed Holy Spirit conviction, because this is what the Holy Spirit does. He reproves the world. He reproves the world of sin. And we find very clearly that when God the Holy Spirit moves upon His individual, brings that individual under conviction, He broods upon that sinner in the same manner that the Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the waters before God created this world. You see, Holy Spirit conviction is a necessity, because without it, there can be no salvation. We find the evidences of Holy Spirit conviction is this. There is a reproving of the sinner. Now, what is that sinner reproved of? It's this reproving of sin. Now, what does this mean? It means that the sinner's heart is opened to a sight and sense of his own personal sin. Now, let me give you a description of it, if I may. In Psalm chapter 51, and we find in verses 1 through 4, David writing that great penitential psalm that he wrote, a psalm when he was under conviction before God, a psalm when he was repenting. And this is what he says. And in like manner, it's a picture of God the Holy Spirit bringing a sinner under conviction. And this is what happens when a sinner's heart is opened. He begins to cry, and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest, and be clear when Thou judgest." Here is the opening of the heart to a sight and sense of sin. And you know, my radio friends, the sad commentary of the present-day religion is this. People just don't know what sin is all about. The reason? They've missed Holy Spirit conviction. When you miss Holy Spirit conviction, you miss repentance. And the vast majority today have never repented of who they are and what they are and of the judgment they're under. And they cannot repent because there's been no Holy Spirit conviction. But when God the Holy Spirit convicts a sinner, rest assured of one thing. The evidences of Holy Spirit conviction is this. There will be a knowledge of your own personal malady of sin. There will be the opening of your heart to a sight and sense of your own personal sin. Now, how personal is that? Well, turn to Psalm chapter 38, if you will, and let me read again, if I may, these words. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by the reason of the disquietness of my heart. Now, my friend, have you ever been there? Do you know what I'm talking about at this very moment? If you don't know, let me urge you to begin even at this hour to ask the Lord to open your heart and to show you your own personal malady and the opening of your heart, to open your heart to a sight and sense of your own personal sin. Now, there's another. This is one aspect of Holy Spirit conviction. The second one is this. There is the wounding of the individual conscience and the filling with shame and horror and fear. Again, in Psalm chapter 51, you see it set forth for our learning where David penned these mighty words as he said these things. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now listen, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Here you see the individual, the wounding of the individual conscience, as well as the filling with shame and horror and fear. And the New Testament couches it for us in the language of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 9 and 10, where we read these words. Listen to God's word, if you will. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And here you find Holy Spirit conviction, wounding of the individual conscience, and the filling of the individual with shame and with horror and with fear, because he has sinned against a thrice holy God. And rest assured of one thing, when that takes place, that sinner begins to cry. Let me give you the description of it, if I may, in Psalm chapter 69 and verse 1 through 3, where the crying of the sinner is set forth. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. And then in verse 14, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. And the whole 69th Psalm gives you the description of the wounding of the individual conscience and the filling of the individual with shame and horror and fear. And rest assured of one thing, that's missing today in the vast majority of our church members at this hour. Then there's the third thing. We find also there's the questioning of the individual regarding his own destiny as well as the utter helplessness of his own condition. You see, God the Holy Spirit brings the sinner to the realization that he, the sinner, is an ungodly individual. Now, this is a shock to the vast majority, but in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, we read, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. My friend, have you ever seen yourself as an ungodly sinner before the Lord? Oh, you say, Pastor, wait a minute. I'm not that kind of a person. I go to church all the time. That doesn't mean a thing. I was a Baptist preacher for 8 years and never saw myself as an ungodly sinner until the Lord God of heaven brought me down the road of Holy Spirit conviction. And rest assured of one thing, it was a shock to me and it'll be a shock to you. And when God the Holy Spirit brings you under conviction, you're going to not only have your conscience wounded, but we find there will be the questioning of you regarding your own destiny as well as acknowledging the utter helplessness of your own condition. Let me describe it for you. In Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 1, listen to it. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Now skip down, if you will, to verse 10. Listen to it. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness, I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day, even to night, wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day, even to night, wilt thou make an end of me. Now listen to these words. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. And then in verse 15, 16 and 17 we read, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live? Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Hezekiah questioned where he was going. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, listen, when God the Holy Spirit opens a sinner's heart and convicts that sinner of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come, that sinner knows that he's a hell-deserving sinner. That sinner knows that he's a helpless individual, and all that sinner can do is begin to cry. And then we find the Holy Spirit causes the sinner to search the Scriptures and cry unto the Lord. Oh, my radio friend today, I hope and pray that God the Holy Spirit has brought you under conviction, because if you miss Holy Spirit conviction, you miss Christ. And when you miss Christ, you miss salvation. And when you miss salvation, you miss everything. Now you see, God doesn't listen, or as it seems this way, that God doesn't listen to a sinner for a long time when that individual is under conviction. But whether that conviction be long or whether it be short, whether it be intense or whether it be gentle, rest assured of one thing. God the Holy Spirit brings a sinner down into the valley of conviction and causes that sinner to search the Scriptures and causes that sinner to cry unto the Lord. And long before the Lord saves that sinner wants to be saved. And that individual learns, and he learns it by the Holy Spirit. He knows, and he knows it, that the Holy Spirit of God is sovereign and that God can save him or damn him. He can let him go or he can have mercy on him. And he's afraid that he will let him go. And so there's a cry in his heart and then a longing to know Christ and to have Christ to be made real to his own soul. Now this is what Holy Spirit conviction is all about. But when God brings a sinner down to the valley of Holy Spirit conviction, rest assured of one thing, he doesn't leave that sinner there. You see, it's the purpose of the Holy Spirit to bring the sinner to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this knowledge of Christ is a subjective or inward revelation of Christ to that individual heart. Now, the Apostle Paul spoke about that over and over again. But I think the best way he ever spoke about it was found in his own testimony in Galatians chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16, where he says, But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now let me stop right here. Has the Lord Jesus Christ been revealed to you personally by the Holy Spirit out of the Word of God? Oh, my friend, you say, I don't know what you're talking about. Then you better go back and begin to seek the Lord, because salvation is not walking the aisle. It's not making a mental assent to a given truth. It's not being baptized. It's not having a great emotional experience. It's not joining the church. And my friend, listen, it's not surrendering to preach. Salvation is the subjective revelation of Christ to the heart. This is a result in a realized knowledge that the Lord Jesus has been made real to you individually. Now let me stop right here. Is the Lord Jesus Christ more real to you at this hour than your own flesh and blood? If He isn't, my friend, you better go back and find out if you've ever truly been converted. You see, when the Holy Spirit brings Christ to the heart or brings the sinner to Christ, we find there's a realized knowledge that Christ is made real to the soul. It's a convincing and a certifying knowledge, and it's an inward experience. And Paul brought it out very clearly where he says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. It's a convincing and certifying knowledge. It's an affecting and humbling knowledge. There's a vitalizing and convincing and moving and powerful effect upon the whole individual. And like Isaiah said, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul cast my sins behind my back. Now in this closing moment, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been under Holy Spirit conviction? Oh, you say, Pastor, I really don't know. Then let me urge you to do this. You begin to ask the Lord right now to bring you under conviction. Ask the Lord to show you your need of Him. And then when He does, cry unto Him for salvation. Oh, may you be saved at this hour, is my prayer. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life, and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message, and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.